The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. After he had sat down, his disciples came to him. He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It was about this time 2 years ago, I'd just gotten started at St. Christopher's as a priest. I was still kind of figuring things out and what it meant to be a priest. And one of the things that I was asked to do on numerous occasions was to go to parishioners' houses and have them blessed. And it was always a lot of fun doing that because I got a chance to see where they lived, I got to see their house, got to meet their family. Often there was a meal involved. It was always a pleasure to be able to go do that. And so I wasn't shocked or surprised at all when, on a nice fall day, I got a call from one of our parishioners, one of the young mothers of the parish. She had two kids, and she wanted me to come out and bless the house the next afternoon. I said, "That's not a problem. You know, I'll grab my book of blessings, my bucket of holy water, and I'll head on over, you know." So I get over there, and I enter into the door, you know, and normally people are very welcoming and accepting. And she was like, "Father, we need to have a quick talk, you know, before we get into the blessing." Okay. So she sits me down at the kitchen table, and she says, "You know, Father, we moved into this house about 3 months ago, and when we first moved in, you know, we were checking out the basement, making sure, you know, everything was in order, you know, and everything was working the way it should be, and we heard these heavy footfalls on the floor above us. You know, we didn't know where it was coming from, so we ran upstairs, you know, thinking maybe it was one of our two little kids, but they were fast asleep, you know, they were taking their nap, and the doors were locked, you know, we never saw anybody, we never found out, you know, what caused those footsteps." And she's like, "And that's not all. There was a couple times where we'd be sitting up in the living room, and we'd be watching television, and we would hear this hammering noise in the basement, you know, and there was an old workbench down there, you know, it just sounded like somebody was down there messing with their tools or building something. We'd go down to check it out, and sure enough, there'd be nobody there, just the empty workbench." And then she said, you know, it really started to get to her when they'd have dinner at the kitchen table, and their four-year-old son would point across the kitchen and say, "Mommy, who's that?" And there's nobody there. And she said there were a few times where she would wake up in the middle of the night, and she would swear that there was somebody standing at the end of her bed. And she couldn't see anybody, you know, she knew, you know, physically there was nothing there, but she would wake up her husband, you know, and, you know, he'd kind of check it out, and there was nothing there, you know, but she just felt this presence. And she said she never felt threatened, you know, she never felt like her or her family members were any danger, but it just was these weird things that kept happening. And I was like, "Why didn't you tell me this on the phone before you had me come over here?" But I was already there, and so I was like, "Tell you what, it sounds like you have a ghost. It sounds like you have a haunted house." And so I said, well tell me more about, you know, who had the house before you? What's kind of the history of this house?" And she said, well, you know, we looked into that, you know, once we found out these things were going on. And she said it was owned by this elderly gentleman, Jim Belikowski, this old Polish guy. And he never married, never had any kids, you know, lived by himself as a bachelor his entire life. Loved to work down in the basement as a workbench, you know, had his tools and was kind of a wood carver. And he passed away in the house. You know, he died in this house. I kind of smiled at that because I was like, you know, it sounds to me like Jim needs some help. You know, Jim's trying to get your attention because he's trying to get to heaven. He's still in purgatory and he has nobody to pray for him. You know, he has no family members that offer to have mass said for him. You know, there's nobody there that's praying for him to that next leg of the journey. So I said, tell you what, you know, we're going to bless the house like we planned on doing, and then I'm going to offer some masses for Jim, and we're just going to see what happens. So, you know, we're going around, you know, and I'm blessing the house, and, you know, things are going great, and then she takes me down into the basement, you know, and I can see the workbench off in the distance, and I kind of did a, and just got out of there as soon fast as I could, you know. Didn't want to spend a second more in that basement than I needed to. And so we did. We blessed the house, you know, and I told her at Cardinal Ritter High School, you know, we say Mass every day, but there's hardly any that have any intentions. You know, that we're not really praying for anybody specifically, just things that, you know, people that I've heard that need extra prayers. So for that next week, I told the Ritter kids, you know, we were going to pray for this ghost in this haunted house, which they thought was the coolest thing ever. And we did. We spent a whole week, you know, every day praying for Jim. A month after that, they hadn't heard from Jim in a month. There was no more sounds, there was no more tinkering in the basements, no more visions in the kitchen. And I don't know for certain, you know, Jim wasn't canonized at the Vatican, you know, Pope Francis didn't come out and canonize a new St. James. But I'd like to believe that because of our prayers, you know, because of our intention to help Jim, that he's now a saint in heaven. This time of year is always a powerful time for Catholics because this is the time of year that we recognize the fullness of the Catholic Church, right? On Halloween, right? All Hallows Eve, that's where that word comes from. It's a recognition of us. It's our celebration, and we take it full board. You know, we get dressed up, we go out trick-or-treating, we have candy, we have all these parties, we live it up. And it's a sign of our mortality, absolutely, but it's also a sign that we are alive. We are part of what we call the church militant, that we are part, one-third of the church, that we are a part that is still fighting. We are still fighting temptation. We are still fighting against sin and evil in this world, and we celebrate that. We celebrate it very, very well. And then we have today, All Saints Day, where we celebrate the second part of the church triumphant. And they're triumphant because they're the ones who've made it. They've conquered. They have won the race. They have won the crown of glory. And now we believe that they are up in heaven, celebrating for all eternity with God and his angels. And then there's tomorrow, November 2nd, that we remember the third branch of the church. And that's the church suffering. The church suffering are those who have lived their life on earth. They tried their best. And now they're in that last leg of the journey. They're in the purifying process, getting ready to enter the gates of heaven. And they are in need of our prayers. And so this time, with these 3 days lined up, we recognize that we're not alone in this church. That every time that we come to this space, even, that we are surrounded by the whole company of the angelic hosts and all the saints and all the souls in purgatory. And every time we celebrate the Mass, this church is packed. In fact, it is very much a haunted church. It is full of spirits, ours included. And it's amazing, too, because there are so many saints that we know their names. We have their feast days. We have St. Augustine, St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Catherine of Siena, St. Patrick, St. Teresa of Lisieux, St. Teresa of Avila. You can just go down the whole list of names, and yet that doesn't cover all of them. Today, we're celebrating every individual who has made it to heaven, some of which are our grandparents, our great-grandparents, those who are family members that we have prayed for. And our hope is that today we're celebrating their victory. You know, there was a news story a few years back where these nuns that were in France, they had to move to a different monastery. Theirs was falling apart. It was crumbling. The foundation was terrible. And so when they moved to this new location, they were like, we're bringing the whole family with us. And they dug up all the graves of the nuns who had gone before them. And as they did so, and they were digging up these tombs, a lot of them were in pine boxes that had rotted out and deteriorated, and they found in the ground these incorruptible bodies that were not damaged by rot, they were not damaged by the weather or anything else, but were in perfect condition. And we believe that because of that, they are saints. And you know what? We have no idea what their names were. We have no idea what kind of life they lived. We have no idea what great things they did in their prayer and their holy lives, but we do know that they are saints. And that's beautiful. That's wonderful. It's a calling out to us that even us, one day, our hope is that our descendants, our, those who come after us, will look on this day and celebrate us. That these days are part of our journey, that we will eventually come to our end on this earth to enter into purgatory, enter into heaven, and these days will continue to be our celebration. You know, there's this great mosaic at the church at Jasper, St. Peter and Paul there. And this mosaic, it's above the altar, and it has all the depictions of the saints and all their splendor and all their glory. And every time you look at it, you realize that's our homeland. That's our calling. And so today should be one of encouragement, where we know that every time we triumph, we overcome Satan and his temptations, the whole host of heaven is praising us. And they're saying, yes, keep going. And every time that we fall, every time that we come up short, every time that we fall into sin and we fall that much further from heaven, they're there to lift us up again. They're there to encourage us and say, keep on going, keep on striving, because you know what? One day you're going to make it. And I don't know about you, but I can't wait for that day. Amen.